Well, I'm teaching something totally different than what I was going to teach last week, when I thought about what I was going to teach. I was going to do a whole study on sanctification and how many people get that confused. But then a couple of things happened to me this week, and it turned my whole direction. I was working with some clients who are in the mainstream Christian community, and they were talking about the Lord would have me do this, the Lord would have me do this. And the reasons for all of that was to please God. And it was very sad to listen to the conversations between these people because they were totally lost. They had no idea what salvation meant. It was what they were saying. They knew what religion was. They certainly had that down. They had that down very well. But they had no idea what it otherwise meant. It was a very sad situation. I did get a chance to give one of the ladies a copy of my book, which I keep in the car, one of them all the time. And she'll be reading it. And we'll see if she even looks into any of it at all. You know, it'll be very interesting. I also put something on Facebook this week, and a friend of mine in Arizona responded to it and said, interesting, tell me more. So I was able to send him a couple of studies that I've done in the past, including this one here that we're going to do today. And I pulled that out and said, you know, we need to do this study. We need to do this study because we do not realize, we sit in here, and we do not realize how many people have no clue what we're talking about. And they don't study their Bibles at all, so they're never going to learn it. And their pastors aren't preaching it, and they're totally lost. Because if you do not understand Paul's significance as our apostle, there's a good chance you're not saved. There's a good chance you've not understood salvation at all, and you're wrapped up in something else. And then Aaron reminded me something of earlier in the week, in the middle of the week. When we were in England, we met Marcus Emerson, a believer over there, a dispensational believer. We had dinner with him in this cool restaurant that goes way back to the 1200s. But anyway, a pub, yes, a pub in England. But you know what he said? He said, you can't unsee the mystery. Once you see it, once you read it, once you get it, you can't unsee it. You can't go back. And it's absolutely true. So this whole study was put together to help us deliver that message to other people. To help them, and that's a good way to get them interested. Say, you know, I had a study today, and it talks about you can't unsee the mystery. And they'll go, what do you mean by that? Well, let me share it with you. And then pull it out. That's an intriguing way to get somebody to pay some attention to it. You can't unsee this once you see it. So let's go to the top of our page. We'll open with a word of prayer first, and then we'll get into this. And it'll probably be a two-week study from the looks of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you that we have a Bible we can read, and that we read that Bible, and that we understand things when we read them, and that people teach like we do here. Instead of having a service with lots of singing and all sorts of praise, we do praise, of course, but we also teach. We teach at this study every week. A couple of hours of serious teaching, because the more you know, the more you grow, the more you understand, the more you can share, the more you can share with the world the finished work of Christ. And how important that is. We ask that you calm our hearts and open our minds as we get into this. In your name, amen.
Yes.
Title, you can't unsee the mystery of Paul, our apostle. Paul was uniquely saved by God and delivers a message of grace to God. Grace of God. The message of grace of God. This message is taken by the modern church and mixed in with a whole bunch of works and a whole bunch of traditions and a whole bunch of other elements. And they kind of come up with a stew and say, here we go. I mean, I've heard all different versions of it. You're saved by faith, but you're sanctified by works. That was actually taught in the Grace Church once when I was there for Sunday school, and I disagreed with the teacher, and it wasn't pretty. I was very loving, and I was very nice, but he did not want to hear that. Yes, right. Being saved was easy, but being sanctified was the hard part. Wow. How sad. But you know what? That's what religion does. Why? Because they want to control you. They want you to feel guilty. They want you to feel needed. They want the church to be needed, as opposed to you coming to this and studying this because of the joy and the blessing it gives you and everything else you get out of it. They want you there because they want to control you. And that's what religion does. Religion says, you've got to do this and this and this and this to win favor with God. And our denomination says, you've got to do this, this, and this, and this to win favor with God. But our denomination says, you've got to do this, this, oh my God, and it goes on forever. Salvation is a free gift. We'll get into that as we do the study. Let's go to the paper here. This is a very important difference between rightly dividing the truth and the modern church. This study addresses this and explains the differences and why it is important. This is what you can share with other people. Most people in the modern church, including your friends and family, have never heard of the uniqueness of Paul's apostleship and the mystery that was given to him. They have never heard it. I don't know what they do in those churches when they read those verses. They just discount them and toss them away. Yeah, it's pretty sad. They even throw them off because they don't even pay attention. When you bring this up to them, they often are perplexed and have no idea what you're talking about. Have you been there? I've been there. Jay, what do you think of Paul's mystery? What mystery? What are you talking about? You're totally lost, okay? In this study, we will outline Paul's unique ministry and how it affects us today, and more importantly, why his message is the only message for our time. You cannot mix them up. You have to understand this. This material can be a strong tool to help others begin to understand the dispensational truth and, ultimately, salvation. Salvation happens when you understand the word rightly divided and you accept the finished work of Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection for our justification is salvation. When you accept and believe that, you're saved. Everything from there forward is a saved individual. Everything from there forward is what we give back to God out of what he's already done for us, not what we can arm twist him into getting. Okay? I see people on Facebook all the time. Prayer warriors. Please pray for this. Pray for that. Pray for this. Pray for that. That's okay. Fine. I can pray for different things. But I'm not arm twisting God. God has a plan. He has a focus. My prayers will give me peace, knowing that God's in charge. My prayers will let God know my requests, so he understands what I'm actually looking for. He probably already knows anyway, I'm quite sure. But anyway, that's all it does for me. I do not have the power to arm twist God into doing it my way. It's my way or the highway. Let's get about 50 people together. Let's pray about this really hard. We're going to change the outcome of this. No, it's not going to happen. We can pray about it and enjoy the peace that passes all understanding, knowing God is in charge. Because when we pray about it, we reflect back to that situation. Okay? The dispensation of the grace of God. Consider who Paul was and his activities and focus. He was a murderer of those who believed in Jesus, those early people, and worked to kill or incarcerate anyone who believed that. That's what he was busy doing. He was given the authority to carry this out, these activities, by the Jewish leadership. Paul had the authority to bring people to Jerusalem. He had authority to kill people, and he did. These people who were, you know, leaving the Jewish faith in their minds. Okay, let's look at some verses here. Let's go to Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 12. This is where Paul talks about it. It's important to understand he had that power, he had that control, and yet God saved him. Acts chapter 26, 9 through 12. I verily, though with myself, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. In other words, he convicted them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I was sent to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. He had that power. That's what he was doing in the beginning. You need to understand what happened to Paul and how it changed everything to really get this. That's why you understand first where he's coming from. Okay? Paul had studied with the Jewish leaders and was considered one of the brightest and most intelligent leaders and teachers. I put this stuff on paper not to kill trees. Share this with your friends and literally read it just like I'm reading it. Let's read this together and just read it together. You follow me? And then look at the verses. Yet even his murderous ways would not keep God's grace from shining on him. There is absolutely no righteousness whatsoever in him, yet God chose him to be the first example of his grace toward man. Why not take your worst enemy and make him and give him grace? Paul was not saved by his works, nor by a covenant promise, but freely by God's grace. He certainly didn't do anything to get it, did he? And guess what? There's nothing you can do to get it either. You can't please God enough. That's all there is to it. You have to accept. Boy, that's so hard for some people. Because they want to please. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to get this. They want to get that. I mean, I know when I do a good job for my clients, they get paid. The whole world is based on reward, you know, and performance and reward. Our salvation is not. And that's what makes it incredibly unique, for one thing. But also it becomes a compelling, powerful energy after one is saved. What do I have here? Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Let's go there. By the way, if you want to read something, just to read something, Ephesians chapter 3, every single verse in that chapter talks exactly about what we're dealing with. It's a great chapter to reread. Take your time and just read it. If you want to get back into understanding and feeling connected and understand Paul, Ephesians chapter 3, bang, the whole thing. I think there's 26 verses, 24 verses, whatever there is. Not many. But boy, does it lay it out. Okay? Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope eternal. I learned this verse when I was in a group called Awana. Anybody hear about that? It's like a Boy Scouts for Christian kids. I had no idea what the verse meant. My Awana teachers didn't either, but I memorized it. I remember memorizing this verse. It was one of my things to do. Sadly, most of the church does not understand what they're even talking about. You'll read a verse, they don't get it, because they don't understand it. And they aren't taught to understand it. And they're not encouraged to read it. You know, pastors go, here are the two verses for this week. Boomity boomity boom. Okay, what that means is, well, and away they go. This classroom teaches you to study. Because that's the only way you're going to get it. And we give you guidelines, I give you these papers, whatever we do to help you do that. But it's when you study, that's where you get it. That's where the information comes from. That's where the life-empowering energy comes from. And what we study. Paul was a unique apostle. He was the chief persecutor of the 12 apostles, and he called himself the chief of sinners. But was called by God to be an apostle of God. They do not see this. The modern church has no idea. They just think, oh, Paul was a missionary. How many people have heard that? Yeah, he's a missionary to these people out there. The message would never have gotten out without Paul. Well, that's true, but that's not what he was. He was a lot more than that. Okay? Let's go to Romans, 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 16. This is Paul again as he's talking. Paul will teach you exactly what understanding the dispensation of grace is all about and how to live. Paul's where you're going to get that information because he's the apostle to the Gentiles today. This is a faithful saying. This is 1 Timothy 1, 15, 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. I'll get it anywhere. Acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh yeah, he's the big dog because he was out there, what is he doing? Killing off these people. I mean, boy. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul was the example. Did he get it because he worked hard and he performed and he sanctified himself after belief? No. Quite the opposite. In fact, he was worse than all of us in some ways. Sin is sin. I don't care if it's, you know, a lust of money, a lust of sex, or killing people. It's all the same as far as God's concerned. Paul was the chief of those sinners. And God gave him salvation as an example for us to follow. So tell me why, if I'm in a church, I've got to do this and this and this and this to win favor with God. If I don't walk the aisle, and if I don't do 10%, if I don't do this, and God's not going to look on you favorably, and I'm in the world of hurt. That's what those people were wrestling with this week that I ran into my customers. They were doing things to please the Lord. That's how they said it. We do this to please the Lord. What? How about doing this because of what he's already done for you? How about doing this because it's the right thing to do? It pleases the Lord. I want to please the Lord, because if I don't please the Lord, I'm not in good shape. I'm going to go through that in their minds. I'm going to show up at the great white throne judgment, and he's going to weigh all my sins, and he's going to weigh all my good stuff, and my good stuff better weigh more. I better make sure it weighs more. Okay. Guess what? My good stuff will never weigh more. Never. And that's the reality. And that's why Christ died on the cross. He didn't die so that you could balance out the scales. He died to get rid of all the bad stuff.
He said it's finished.
Finished. And when we understand that, when we understand that that salvation is by faith alone plus no performance.
Faith plus nothing.
Nothing. When we get that, and people out there watching this online, when we get that, it changes everything. Because I'm no longer living out of fear and misery and concern and this and that, whatever. Instead of living joyously for Christ, for God, out of what He's done for me. Okay? Giving back what I've been given.
But even gracefully, we sometimes
fall into that
mindset because of the rewards, you know, the crowns,
sure,
such as that. They look at Revelation and they see those, yep, passages and they think that that's for them. I'm not understanding all,
sure,
all of that.
Well, and
whether it's just for the Jews or whether it's for, right, you know, I don't know.
I do know this. That as far as God is concerned, He sees me in Christ. And when I get to any kind of judgment, which is, there are going to be some crowns that we might be able to get, okay? I think that's motivation. I don't think it's performance love. It's not like, okay, I reached 7,000 people, you only reached 150 people. No. Did you do and serve God with the right motivation? That's what He's looking for. That's what I believe. I believe that's the one thing he will give us some sort of reward for. Yes, faithful servant Dave, you did a great job, okay? You know what? It talks about in but yeah, we're not being judged there, but there's going to be rewards. Rewards are coming in. And when they do, what do we do? What does it say in Rome, in Revelation? We put him right back to Christ. We give him back to Christ. We put him at his feet. Because it isn't me, it's him. Okay?
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. I give both symbols. Here we go. Yeah. The reality is, we are motivated and driven by the finished work of Christ. Not by the efforts of Dave. Not by the efforts of what I've done in my past or my history or my future. Boy, does that change everything or what? And if you're listening to this and you don't get it, study this stuff. By the way, I put my email address. My email address is up here. It's back there anyway. I put it up there so that if you'd like a copy of this, I'll be glad to send it to you. Okay? Hermes, hold up one of those books. If you'd like a copy of the book, I've been giving out a bunch of these lately. We're killing lots of trees. If you'd like a copy of this book,
what does it say?
It says Revolutionary Spirituality. Okay? I know the guy who wrote it. He's a pretty nice guy. He does a good job. And he's good looking. So,
that's a
sad thing. It's right. Oh boy, the crowds are, that's a tough crowd today.
Shorts year round.
That's right. He does. It's kind of weird. All right. But I'll be glad to send this to you, okay? We'll email those to you. I'll mail this to you. So give me an address, okay? Send me your address and I'll be glad to mail these out, okay?
I got one.
Okay. Well, we've got three of them here, so pick one up on the way out. Okay? This will help you see it from start to finish to understand what we're talking about here in many different levels, okay? All right, let's get back to our paper because we want to get this done in 2 weeks instead of 3 or 4 weeks. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Get your chance to get there. Romans 15, 15 through 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that was given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering to the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by what? The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. A unique message. Hey guys, a unique message. Paul is the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It's as simple as it is. The modern church does not recognize that. He is just a, I don't know, he's just a missionary to them. Missionary, he's got the message for our time. And if they don't see that or want to see that, they're not going to. We've got to study. That's what we do in this class. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. How much simpler is that line? Again, once you see it, you just cannot see it. Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus and many times after to reveal what was from the beginning of the world hidden God. That is, the fellowship of the mystery. It was hid in God because we're going to get to the verses on this, because if he didn't hide it, they probably would never have killed Christ on the cross. Satan wouldn't want that to happen, because that was a big deal. That death on the cross opened up salvation to the entire world. If I knew that's what it was going to do, guess what? I don't think I would have killed him. Okay, we would have gone some other way. I would have tried to mess up something else. Who knows? Let's take a look at the verses that back this up, because it's important you understand this. This mystery was hid in God from the beginning of time. And it wasn't revealed to the prophets. It wasn't revealed until the Apostle Paul says, hey, this is what the Calvary means. And this is what God has for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Unto me, who am the least amongst all saints, is given grace that I should preach among the Gentiles. What does he say? Unto me, who am the least of all saints, is grace given. Grace was given to him. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Could we find these riches in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No. We can find what Jesus did and the fact that he was trying to set up a kingdom and that he was on the earth and he was doing all these things that had been prophesied. We can learn all about that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we can't understand or learn about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see, this is it right here, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You can't unsee it when you see it. It's right here. I'm explaining it to you. You're seeing it. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wow. Some pretty neat stuff. But you're not going to find it in modern religion. Because what would Jesus do? Jesus was talking to the Jews, folks. He wouldn't have done anything for you. He would have walked right by. That's the reality. If you don't think so, take a look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See how many people he deals with other than the Jews. I think there's one lady and maybe one other person. Otherwise, he goes, no, this is not for you. This is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not for the dogs. It is for my people. He was setting up the kingdom. And by setting up that kingdom, he would have had a whole different situation. But it didn't happen. And thank God it didn't. Okay? The unsearchable riches in Christ. Read that to your pastor. What is the fellowship of the mystery? What is that, sir? What does that mean? Let him try to explain it to you. I'm not trying to say be mean, but ask these people so they start thinking. Because if you give them these verses, they'll go, well, the fellowship of the mystery is that God loved man, or something. They'll come up with an answer. But it's not what it says. Okay? Paul calls this revelation the mystery of Christ, the mystery among Gentiles, and the dispensation of the grace of God. This mystery of Christ is distinct from what was spoken by the mouths of the prophets since the world began. Yet the church does not acknowledge it or even try to understand it.
No wonder there's so many scholars in the seminaries that try to rip out the books of Paul and say they really don't
matter
in the Bible.
they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So they would ruin their doctrine.
And what's unfortunate is they're wrapped up in this idea that we have to do what Jesus said instead of realizing Jesus wasn't here for us. He was here to set up a kingdom. That's why he came back to it, came back to Jerusalem. That's why he rode in on a donkey. He came back during the festival time. If they had accepted him, they would have set up a kingdom.
Yeah, there's many that really say that the Pauline epistles really don't belong in the Bible.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Well, they don't belong confused in the Bible the way they do it. That's for sure. I'm surprised that somebody hasn't put a dispensational Bible together where they take the Pauline epistles solely on their own, you know, separated by a few pages, just like they did with the old New Testament, you know, to clarify it. I've thought about that. It's like, wow, this is an undertaking I can never get done. But anyway, you separate it all out.
They have that, those
Berean
books that I have Romans.
Yeah, they study individual things. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yes.
Without Paul's epistles, there's no salvation for us.
None whatsoever. We're going to get to that.
I gave that last week. I'll give it again in a few weeks.
Yeah.
No salvation. I that.
Absolutely true. You want to get saved, you have to go to what Paul teaches. Otherwise, you have no salvation. Otherwise, you can keep the Sabbath, and you can do everything the Jews did, and it's not going to help you any. That's all they offer. Let's see. That's like where I'm at here. Yes, let's go to Romans chapter 16. Thank you. We're talking about that these were not spoken by the prophets, okay, that they were hidden. Romans 16, 25 through 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Paul's gospel, folks, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not what Jesus tried to teach the disciples. In the preaching of Jesus Christ, what? According to what he said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Ask anybody in the modern religion what that means. Your denominational preacher, what does that mean? He's not going to have an answer. Because they didn't look at those verses when he was in seminary. And he's got a whole file cabinet full of studies, or I should say, messages that have three verses in a message. And it's the 15th week of the year, pulls it out. There's no doubt, I've got 300-400 messages that I've studied over the years, and I put them together in different ways when I want to use them. So I understand that. But those messages are all wrong, because none of them reflect the dispensation of the grace of God. They reflect living morally. They reflect this. They reflect that. All these things they're trying to teach in the churches, it has nothing to do with their salvation. You want to live morally? Let the power of God's grace become your direction. Realize what God has already done for you. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? Ask Irma. I'm really close. Okay? That's right. I'm right there, she says. That's good. The reality is there's plenty of things I do that are motivated by the love of Christ. And there are some things I do because I know they're wrong and I still do them. Okay? It is. It is what it is. Okay? And I keep working on it. I keep getting better. As I get older, either I get older, I get too tired to do them, or I get better. Okay. There we go.
Our children anyway. Say, my husband is mellowing.
There we go. Exactly.
Mellowing. Mellowing. I thought that was funny.
Yep.
Mellowing.
Back to the verses.
Really, I know God is working on
it. He's right. Yeah, that's a good point. God is working on us all the time.
Yeah.
You know. I look at things totally different in some ways than I used to. Okay? And mostly better. Yeah, mostly better. Verse 26, and I'm Romans here. But now is made manifest. But now, Paul brings this to the attention of the world. Not those other guys. Not the other 12. But now is made manifest by the scriptures and by the scriptures and the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. Made known unto all nations. Do people get that now? No. They don't. They're totally buried. We need to understand that that's so important. Because if you're steeped in religion, if you're watching this on the internet, and you're steeped in religion, and you're worried about, oh, I just thought about this, or I did this, or I didn't do this, or stop. If you're worrying about those things, you're not saved. You don't understand that salvation is a free gift given by the finished work of Christ on the cross. This little cross would be a language gesture anyway, okay? Given by the finished work of Christ on the cross. When that work was done, and when you accept that work being done, you are saved. Complete. Done. Now you can rest. Now your eternity is taken care of. Have you ever laid in bed at night and wondered what eternity is going to be like? Yeah, I do that when I can't fall asleep. And it's like, what's going to be like? It's pretty interesting, you know? I don't know what it's going to be like. But I have my ideas. You know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fabulous. That's even a better term. It is. It is going to be fabulous. And do I even know how fabulous? No. You know. But I know that I'm at peace with it. And Irma and I have talked about that. The years that she spent, I've been understanding the grace message since I was maybe 15 years old. Irma, on the other hand, was like maybe 21, right? By the way, it is Irma's birthday today. Just saying that. Oh. Yeah. She's 23 finally. Yeah.
It's Jimmy's birthday.
Yeah, it is. I already sent Jimmy a text. Yeah. But anyway, the point is this. She spent years and years and years and years full of angst. Years and years and years full of pain. And some of you guys went through the same stuff. I can't live up to God's standards. I can't figure this out. I can't figure that out. Why can't I do that? Why am I sinning again? Why am I doing this wrong? I mean, Irma was like, She'd do a sin. She'd go, I'm just going to give up. I can't stop sinning. You know, and she was just frustrated by the whole thing. And I could imagine that. I could imagine that. I was very young when I got out of that. But you know what? Having the joy of the peace that passes all understanding. Having the joy of my salvation. Having the joy of knowing my eternity is fixed with God. and it's going to be perfect. And I'm not going that direction. I'm going that direction. And things are going to be good. Motivates me. What can I do now to make a difference? Send people stuff, whatever, you know? Try to help people understand things. Give away my time, give away money when I can, whatever it might be, to make a difference in someone's life and have them go, why did you do that? Let me tell you, unfortunately, in today's world, when you help somebody, they're going to go, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
And if they're a woman, they're going to go, yeah, what do you want? Okay? I mean, it's sad. It's very sad. You can't share the love of Christ sometimes. You do, and you share about it, you explain it, you talk to them about it, whatever. But there's always that fear. People are just, what's the motivation here for this? You know? The motivation is God's given me all this. You know, I just hired some more people. I've got 9 employees. I don't do the business so I can make a lot of money. I do the business so they can all have a great job. And they do. We have a good time. It's a good, fun company to work for. And everybody has a good job. We all pull together. We do things. And sometimes we get wealthy and they get bonuses. Sometimes they live, survive. And I get to survive. I get to eat. I haven't missed too many meals. You know? I love being able to give back as a reflection of the love of Christ to the world. In various ways. Whenever you can. Got a crazy neighbor, you cut the lawn for him. We were just talking about that. I got to get my next door neighbor's backyard cut. It's turned into... apparently it's turned into a jungle. Well, you don't know my voice. I'll get a lawnmower. I'll get Larry. Larry will do it.
No.
Larry's a 70-year-old guy who cuts my grass. So we expect him to die one day. He's doing the hour. Yeah, Mike's like 72 and he's 70. Those are my yard boys. Yeah, I mean, I pay him way too much. It's a true story. I started paying Mike years ago because he's an old man. He needed the money, so he got paid when he got to work on it. And now his buddy Larry helps him. So the two of them are out there doing it. So they're probably going to go together. It'll be interesting. I do have in my drawer Larry's wife's number and Mike's son's number. And they gave it to me. I said, I got to have these numbers just in case. And they said, no problem. They gave it to me. Because when they go down, I got to call somebody. Hey, your dad's down the front yard. Anyway. The reality is, get that love back. What can you do for others? How can you make a difference? You know, there are things in my business that I could do. And I go, no. Let me give that to so-and-so. They need the money. I give it to somebody else. You know, rather than me do it. I've been very blessed. Okay? I'm not rich. I survive. I survive and I have a good time and I get worried about cash flow and overseas, all that, you know, coming and going. But I have wonderful people and I'm trying to reflect the love of Christ to them. And they let my son, especially, he was in a great church when he was younger and now he's like philosophical and he's going through all the stages right now. And I'm hoping that someday he'll come focus back where he needs to go. He knows the story, he knows the truth. We talked, we went to Texas a week or so ago and we talked about, you know, being in the body of Christ and he knows all the answers. He's heard it all, he understands them, but in his mind, well, why would God be a jealous God? That doesn't make sense. He created everything. You have to be jealous. There's things he can't understand. You know, when I say, look, that's the way God is because he needed to be that way on his own. That's his call, not mine. And it is what it is. Well, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to him. He can't relate with it. But anyway, try to reflect that stuff so my employees see that. You know, ask anyone. They'll say, it's the best job I've ever had. Because I'm out there to try and make their lives better. And, you know, and we all work together. And so when I do get a chance to talk about faith or share, you know, Heather, she's been through Baptist background. I know their backgrounds. You know, we've had enough conversation. I know where they all come from. But anyway, that's what we get to do. That's the joy we get to do. I'm going to stop here so that we can finish, pick this up next week. Okay, this is a special message for our time. That's what we're going to pick it up next week, okay? But I encourage you to look at this stuff, keep it, and you want to get somebody's attention. Use the title. You can't unsee the mystery. You can't unsee it. And it's so true. It was a great term she brought up this week. I'm like, you're right. That's what we need to say to people. I want to show you something you can't unsee. Really? Now that's a challenge. You follow me? Now they're going to go, well, yeah, okay, fine. Show me something. And how many of us have friends who are in religion? And they, you know, hopefully they might. Some of that might make sense. And, you know, Facebook, I got some people this week to respond to some stuff. So you never know. Opportunities out there. Yes?
When you can't unsee the mystery. That's exactly what I told Daniel. Exactly.
yeah.
right before you started.
Okay. Yeah.
I said, you'll never be able to. I said, you can go anywhere else you want to, in any church you want, but you can't unsee
it.
You know now. You'll never be happy or satisfied, no matter where you go, unless they're teaching you this.
Yes. And you go. Who would want it? That's right. And when you go, you know, you go to like a wedding or something, or you go to somebody else's church because you're on the road and your cousin takes you to church, whatever. You sit there and you go, oh, they're so far off the mark. You know, you end up being a sandbag. I mean, it's. But you know what? When those opportunities are there, those are the times you can say. They go, what did you think of the service? You can say, it was interesting, but there's some things that I differently understand. I'd love to share with you. Really? Oh, what's that? You know, you might get a chance to talk. And pull out the little piece of paper that's hidden in your Bible. Don't try to remember this stuff. I don't try to remember this stuff. Are you kidding? I've got a 64K memory. I've got an old computer in my head. If it isn't written down, I don't remember it. So if somebody said to me, you know, I can give you two or three verses that are the gospel, no problem. I got those down. Thanks to Irma's help recently. Because after my surgery, I got a little bit of a brain fog. And I had to remember stuff. Pump head or whatever they call it, yeah. I mean, the other day she goes, so why'd you have to take the car out today? I'm like, I couldn't even remember. It was only 2 hours earlier that I had to go out with the car, and I couldn't remember what it was. I'd like, what did I call it? I don't remember, and I had to think it through for a while. Yeah. Very true. You know, but that's what these are for. It's why I write everything down, because I'm not going to try to remember. But I can remember to pick the piece of paper up. That's all I need to remember. You know, I need to remember. That's it. Anyway, it is what it is. Let's close with a word of prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the celebration we have here and studying your word and understanding and growing. And help us to share this with people out there who are totally and completely lost. If they're in modern religion, the chances are 99% that they are lost. They don't understand salvation. They are not saved. They've not accepted the finished work of Christ. Instead, they've accepted some sort of mismatch, confusion between works and faith, and they call it religion. Help us to share that with other people, because that's what this is all about. It's about changing those lives. It's about getting people to spend eternity with us. And all the people that are going to be up there frustrated because they didn't get this, our hearts go out to them. Because unless they're willing to open their minds and open their hearts, they're not going to get there. We ask these things in your name. Amen.